Serious XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions. And offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit Massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
Just minutes from downtown Saratoga Springs, you'll find GMP Farm, a revolutionary state-of-the-art equine therapy and rehabilitation facility offering the most advanced equipment and knowledgeable staff to care for your equine athlete. From oxygen therapy and laser treatments to thermal imaging, dry salt room, and cryotherapy treatment, all alongside a 7/8 mile Tapeta training track, GMP Farm is revolutionizing equine care. To see a full list of services and book your horse's rejuvenation session, visit gmpfarm.net today.
Two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
PA Bred, I think we've built a brand at this point.
It's excitement at every step.
Roses for Deborah just set a new track record.
On average, for the past decade, Pennsylvania paid over $28 million a year in breeders' awards, restricted races, and owner bonuses. Plus, PA Bred shine on the world's biggest stage. Just three states have bred more Breeders' Cup winners. Learn more at PABred.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three. And thanks to Graham. Graham spent more time, actually, than he spent more time than I was supposed to keep him. So thank you, Graham. But it was overdue. I mean, if I had to go back to all the way to Izzy Vungu Vungu, I hadn't talked to him. So we got the update on his three Breeders' Cup starters. And as I told you, Andy Serling joins us. And as I retweeted Andy, next Wednesday he'll have a Twitter Spaces where he'll go over his Breeders' Cup thoughts. Good morning.
Morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good.
Glad to hear it.
All things considered. Yeah, I wanted to make sure people, because, you know, you did this last year, right? The same thing, the Twitter Spaces?
I did.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I won't be in Breeders' Cup week, so I'm not going to take the videos. Done with the videos anyway.
It's a good option. It's a good option. And well, and I mean, do you take some questions too, or no?
I don't remember. Probably. I don't remember how it works. I don't know. I mean, I was probably just go to the races. Isn't that enough? There's 14 races.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, and some will be.
I don't remember. If people ask questions,
Are there comments? I can't remember.
Yeah, they can interact.
Okay. I'll do my best.
Exactly. You always do. Well, and listen, it'll be interesting tomorrow when they release the pre-entries, can begin to get some ideas. But everything seems in place. I mean, there's a lot of really good confrontations, not the least of which is the Classic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to have some sort of opinions on these things until I actually take a look at who's in the race. And I think the Classic, probably the draw, does have a lot of relevance in the sense that, I think Fierceness, maybe he'll just keep getting the outside post in every big race he's in. That'll help his chances. But, I want to see how the pace sets up in those races. And cause I imagine, unlike the Travers, if they're speed horses in the Classic, they'll probably look to use their speed. We'll see. I think, while I would probably not likely to be interested in betting on Fierceness, I think he's probably more likely to win than the other horse. He'll take a lot of money in their City of Light. At least we know he's a pretty good dirt horse,
Well,
especially how confident somebody is, that he's going to be able to win if the pace is faster and he isn't in the most cozy position, which is where he's been in his last couple of starts. So, we'll see. Well, obviously, there's never any secret that Fierceness was the most talented 3-year-old in the country, maybe even older horse, considering how this older horse division's panned out. The question is he capable of being that horse when things don't go absolutely his own way? I know
right.
There's a lot of talk. We figured this out. We figured that out. But we know that's all a bunch of BS. That's just, trainer speak, jockey speak. When they win, they figured everything out. When they lose, they didn't, We've yet to see any indication that he's a horse capable of running a big race when he doesn't get things absolutely his own way. We'll see if he does.
Beyond that equation, do you have as we angle toward this, do you have a feel for how you're going to view or how you already view the international participants, the three Japanese and City of Troy?
No. I'll think about it when I look at the race.
Well,
I mean, price is determinant too, right?
Yeah.
Forever Young does seem like, obviously from what we've seen of him, he's maybe in some ways he might be the horse to beat, but is he, what price is he going to be? Is he going to be 4-1? Is he going to be 6 or 8-1? All these things matter, right?
Sure.
I can't take a particular reason offhand why Forever Young wouldn't be considered a major player in this race. I can't think of a situation, as long as the pace is honest, that Sierra Leone wouldn't be a major player in this race. I can't think of everybody is so caught up and fairly that Forever Young may have run a better race than Sierra Leone. It's not that big a gap,
Well, how relevant is a race in May to November?
Well, it's relevant. I don't know. We haven't had a chance to see a lot of Forever Young in one race in Japan.
Right.
I'm not following, really evaluating that race. So we'll see, But I'll wait until the PPs are funny. Yeah, I think it's the worst thing people do for the Breeders' Cup is say, I love so-and-so, so therefore I'm going to ban that horse, regardless of what the race looks like. I don't know why you handicap the race differently than you do a Thursday. I mean, you're looking for horses that you think will be underlays to bet against and overlays to bet on, right? Isn't that how you handicap races? I don't think you have to. There's no reward for my saying to you now, I like, so-and-so in the such-and-such a race, and saying it today or saying it after I have a chance to handicap the race. I don't know. I was on that one early. it's a special beanie with your, they give you like a beanie when you collect your money. I had him early. I liked him before Bill did. who cares?
I love it. I mean, there are horses that we all kind of track toward this day, and we...
Well, right, but we don't know who's in there. I don't know who the Japanese horses that are showing up in races. I don't know, you know, anything about them. I don't, you know, I'm not aware of who the Europeans really are that are running into races. That's why you wait till the PPs come out and sort of, I see so much talk. I mean, you know, I guess the talk lately is National Treasure doesn't sound like he's running, right?
It's suddenly iffy, yeah.
Well, I mean, he hasn't worked since his last race. That's usually not a good sign, right?
No.
So, I mean, who's going to be favored in that race? Domestic product?
You're saying without National, you mean?
Yeah. I don't think any, I mean, between him and Skippy Longstocking, who do you think is going to be a shorter price? I think Domestic Product would be.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so I won't be surprised if he's favored. I think he's cross-entering in that in the sprint, which makes a certain amount of sense. I'm not sure he couldn't win the sprint. But, like I said, until, you know, you see who's pre-entered, for all we know that, you know, he's going to enter National Treasure. I don't know. It just seems a little strange, right?
Yeah.
Sprint's coming up kind of a fun race, I think.
It is. I've been beating that drum.
Well, the sprint, there's no standout sprinters, but we have seen some slightly faster races in the last couple starts by these horses. So, you know, there's every reason to believe that could turn out to be a decent race. Be good, because there haven't been a lot of good sprints lately.
No, and it feels like it's going to be a foolish field, too, which it never...
Who's anybody afraid of, right?
Yeah, no, it's nice. I'll tell you, I had Brad Cox last week, and when I brought up Federal Judge, you could hear his voice, he lit up, how excited he was by that performance in the Phoenix.
Yeah, we'll see what he does with a little more speed in the race, maybe.
Yep.
No, like I said, you know, they're just, you know, you get the PPs and your opinions might change pretty quickly, you know.
Well, I'll tell you one, it is interesting, you know, there's the sprint divisions, you know, the four, what I consider the four specialty distances, let's say, turf sprint, dirt sprint, filly and mare, and dirt mile. What price is Ways and Means going to be now in the filly and mare sprint?
I don't know, 2-1?
Yeah.
Well, why Bava's? All of a sudden, nobody respects Bava. I mean, you know, the thing with Bava is, you know, when you start to look at it in retrospect, her winning colors wasn't really a very good race, and obviously it went well in the Ballerina. There is an argument that maybe being down towards the inside wasn't the absolute best place for her that day, so you want to give her a mild excuse, but I don't know. But also, it's fair to ask yourself whether or not she's kind of tailed off. I mean, Society did run well in the Ballerina. I want to see it again, but she showed a new dimension. She rated a bit in that race and won. So, I don't think that Ways and Means is towering over this field by any stretch. Not like a Good Night Olive did when she ran her best races. One thing to say about Ways is Ways, you know, there's a fair argument that she's better on a dry track than a wet track. And she caught a wet track in the test, and in the last race, the Gallant Bloom as well. So she might be a horse that's even more comfortable on those tracks. But much as I want to see her win, I'm not convinced she has a huge, overwhelming advantage against those horses by any stretch.
You know, we didn't talk last week, so we didn't get a chance to shuffle all the cards together from some of the, you know, some of the big prep spots, and the Juvenile certainly has got plenty of luster heading toward it between Chancellor McPatrick and then the emergent East Avenue, and Baffert's horse looks okay. That Citizen Bull that won the...
Well, he got away with a pretty tepid pace in the race formerly known as the Norfolk, and it's obviously not going to happen in this with East Avenue in there. So I'm not convinced that it's, you know, I wouldn't be sold on him based on that race. I mean, Savin's race was better. Yes, McPatrick's a very solid horse, and, you know, if he gets an honest pace, he's going to come running like he always does, and I think he's very dangerous. I mean, what we've seen, and Jonathan's way shouldn't be forgotten.
Yeah, he should.
But he's another horse that's best being a bit forward as well. So we'll see. I don't have any confidence ferocious. Is it ferocious or ferociously? Or
ferocious.
Fierceness, ferocious, fiercenessly.
Yeah.
Seems a little too similar for me. Two words that mean the same thing. I heard a lot of drivel about all the excuses he had after his last race. You know what his excuse was? He was second best. Yes, he had a modicum of early trouble. He was second best. That's a viable excuse. That was a lot of racing.
Well,
I think, you know, you pay that kind of money and he got so much hype after his debut that, you know, it ends up being a, if they don't win, this went wrong, that went wrong. Well, sort of got to win. And I thought his hopeful was okay. Sort of ran in spots. But he was flat out drowned in his last race. But a lot of argument that Kima was pretty favoring horses that were forward, et cetera. You know, so he may have, he sat and may have had been very much so, but also.
It's a nice group, the boys.
We'll see. I mean, I don't have an opinion on them until I look at the PPs together. I think hopefully it's a reasonably competitive group. How good these horses are at this point, well, none of them are running particularly huge figures to suggest that they're, you know, but it's early, and we'll see.
Well, then, there's two Japanese colts to...
In two-year-old races?
Yeah, yep, and the juvenile.
Are they good?
They're okay, it seems. I had Kate Hunter last week, Friday, and we spent an hour going through the 19 Japanese horses. And Ikoro, Azel, and Shin Believe are their names.
Okay.
There's also two fillies.
Well,
and
try to find out what I can about two fillies.
Yes.
Not that easy. My guess is that the Japanese horses, as a general rule, will be overbetting these races. I think people are really geared up for them. And maybe rightfully so. Maybe they'll have a huge Breeders' Cup. But, you know, that big Breeders' Cup that they won, you know, where they had the two wins, I think if you take a step back, I should have won the filly in their turf. She got a bad ride that day. And, you know, that was a very unusual Breeders' Cup distaff. So while they obviously have had good horses and they've had success in places other than Japan, I think there's a bit of a false sense of security that their horses somehow are better than they looked, or they really just better horses than our horses. And they would probably have to be better horses than our horses to come here and win. Just as if we went over there, we'd have to be pretty special to win, you know? You're not going to automatically make the ship and somehow be just, you know, on par with horses in training here, and et cetera. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not really against them, except that I think that people will probably overbet them.
Well, it's, other than the classic runners, and a little bit that Shahryar, you know, certainly, who I think...
Who's that?
That's the turf runner.
That
came
over. I don't know.
Well, it was third last year. And
third in the mile or the turf?
In the, was that in the turf? I think...
For the filly and mare turf, really. You don't seem very well informed on this one, Steve.
No, I just forget.
Probably shouldn't have mentioned the horse's name.
probably not.
But we don't know anything about who this horse is.
We don't know where it was third last year. It was third in the turf. I wasn't sure if it was the mile or the turf. It was the turf.
It matters, right?
Yeah, sure it does. He was behind up to the mark.
It wasn't third in the mile.
In the turf, I just said.
Or Lee was third in the mile.
It's in the turf.
In the turf.
In the turf.
Okay.
Mid-pack.
What's he done since?
He has not won, actually. But he was a good second in the Shima Classic to Rebel's Romance.
Well, he ain't that special either, is he?
I know. Well, he's not your favorite. I know.
Ridiculous, you know, major-winning Godolphin horse I've ever seen. Oh, Godolphin won one of the races on World Cup night? Wow, that was an exciting for them, because they were kind of on an over, right? Did they actually start? I can't remember, from a gate that's like 50 yards ahead of the other horses? The ultimate home field advantage?
It seems that way some of those nights.
I'll tell you one thing. I don't think you want any Godolphin horses that have been staying in this country. Though Star Mystery seems to still be running well.
Well, she got beat. She got beat the other day.
Wow, well, she was bested there. She's
yeah,
a good trip. She's pretty good.
Yeah, but she is good. She's.
I imagine Cogburn will be the biggest favorite all weekend, right?
Well, it may be, but I tell you, this Bradsell that won on Arc Day, that's a real horse. I mean, that
because those European shippers have had such an amazing record in the Breeders' Cup. Turf sprint.
No.
Last one won a keen win, and every other one has gotten beaten.
And agreed, understood, but
winning the straightaway pre-Levi is a lot different than winning this race. I don't know anything about it. In general, I take the Europeans and the sprint with a grain of salt, but as close as possible.
Well, he had three straight wins going into. Into the Prix de Levee, and all five furlongs. He won the Nunthorpe.
Oh, he won the Nunthorpe?
Yeah.
You know why the Nunthorpe is a particularly interesting race? The Prix de Levee maybe the exact same thing, right? Do you know what's interesting about those races?
What?
They're for all ages. How do you spell his name?
B-R-A-D-S-E-L-L.
Wait, B-R-A.
Brad.
E is in zebra.
Brad Sell. The name Brad and the word sell.
Two words or one word?
One word.
Oh, Brad Sell, S-E-L-L. I got you.
Yes.
He's a four-year-old. Okay. He's on a chair.
He's a nice horse.
Look at him. You know, he didn't win the Levi.
No, he was second.
Oh. Well, what happened?
Soft going.
Oh. Well, why did that get him beat?
Or
is that just he lost, therefore it was the soft going? I'm just asking.
It's, right? Isn't that the stock answer?
I don't know. I thought the Europeans liked soft going.
Not all.
I'm looking at the horse that he was beating. The horse he was beating in the two races prior had lost to Big Abs. It was just okay. Okay. All right. I'll bone up on him.
He's still going to... Cogburn will still take some beating, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's going to have to be pretty good to come over here and beat Cogburn, I'll tell you that.
I agree.
Not easy. He's pretty good, that horse.
Yeah, he's been.
What else is going on, Steve?
Well, I'm coming down Thursday.
I'm leaving very soon.
I know you are. You've got an 11:30. So I want to go over. Okay. Let's go over the pick six carryover.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do.
Podcasting Nick tomorrow, right? Well, sort of steal his thunder. But tonight, I'm taping
it. I didn't hear you clearly.
I said I'm doing a podcast about it with Nick tonight.
Oh, fun.
Well, I'm not sure it'll be fun, but I hope so.
No, it's good. Well,
you've undoubtedly handicapped the card thoroughly. Why don't you start?
All right. Well, it starts in the third, and this is a crazy circumstance that sees, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Keeneland, Aqueduct, and Santa Anita with big six-figure carryovers. And a one-mile state-bred filly allowance, and sweet anniversary, Anthony Ferraro, the horse to beat, coming in from Finger Lakes, but doesn't have to win.
Do you think she's the horse to beat, really?
Here's what I thought. I've got it 3-2-7, and the entry mate, Chasing Daylight.
Yeah, I have it 2-7-3. Well, the two was the interesting horse. I bet Nobita was the horse to beat, probably, but the last was kind of disappointing. So
there's enough speed. There's enough speed for Silent.
The anniversary is not exactly my kind of horse, but
I know.
I mean, to be fair, the only time she came here, she ran Saratoga, and she did stumble pretty badly at the start. So I will give the excuse that she ran very badly. What about race number four? And don't give the conditions again, because if you keep winning this race, I'm going to hang up.
Well, it's a turf sprint going six. And I don't know. I've got three horses identified. Ms. Bourbon on the outside, Magic 8 Ball, and the three, Tariga. The five. Just Heart, who I got lucky with at Saratoga. 9-8-5 for me.
Okay. I picked an 8-3-9.
8-3-9?
I didn't think Dusk was impossible either, but...
Yeah. On the rail.
What about the fifth race? What's the bring back from the canceled day?
There was a surprising morning line to me in here. Cherie's
horse. The morning line was out.
I've got a morning line.
What?
I got a morning line.
The morning line's not out yet, so you can't have a morning line.
There was a morning line on the PPs last night.
No, there was.
I printed.
Where'd you print them off of?
I printed them off of dailyracingform.com.
Formulator doesn't show PPs. No, you're right, though. The internal does. So my formulator doesn't have PPs. Okay, what's the surprising morning line here?
Cherie, 10-1.
Why would that horse be short?
I don't know. I thought that horse was appealing.
I think she's a player, too, but I don't know why you think she'd be short.
Well,
Stamper approval is a pretty big favorite, right?
Yeah, that's fair. 9-5, yeah.
Great horse to be.
Agreed.
I don't like positive carry, but I guess she has a chance. I thought Dazzling Cruiser was dangerous.
Dazzling.
Prom Date Bonnie you could throw in. But I prefer the 5-4 or 4-5.
I don't like
positive carry. That's my only opinion there.
You're against the three off the claim?
That was just awful. He is.
That's fair. I just like the way it just makes me laugh the way you say it.
Well, there's also some numbers. I mean, here's some numbers for you. Linda Rice off the claim with Turf Routers in the last 5 years, 1-30. She's 0-8 with maidens. Claimed from Chad Brown overall in Turf Routes over the last 5 years, 5-47. That's a potent 1-30 and 5-47. Maidens claimed from Chad Brown and Turf Routes over the last 5 years. 0-16 with four hitting the board.
Hmm.
Where are you in race six?
I'm sort of ambivalent thus far, to be honest.
Okay.
All right. I thought that the other half of the entry, that Western Wolf, I mean, I like that.
Yeah, well, he was dangerous, so he went okay last time.
Show some speed. I like
Chris's Revenge. I was 7-1A, 2-4 maybe.
Oh, Brittany Russell.
Better second time.
Yeah, she's got.
Did you run a steam after the fifth with no opinion the seventh either?
you're just ridiculous. If there's a first, hold on, let's go back to the sixth for a minute. If there's a firster I thought that was a little interesting, it was the McLean's Music of Greg Sacco's.
The problem with that horse is, with that pedigree, that horse sold for $22,000. That's not a good sign. That's the Courtly D pedigree. That's a very, very good damn sign on that horse. So that's a very low price. I watched the workout. This is sort of a tiny little horse, and I thought it was an ugly work, to be honest with you.
All right.
So you probably haven't watched that work out yet, but yeah, I'm sure you've seen it.
The seventh, nice allowance, 6.5, marks the return of Barry Schwartz's El Grande move.
Or El Grandeo.
El Grandeo. But I thought that you needed to... balance it out with Classify from Safi.
Why, as far as City Impossible?
It's okay.
They were the obvious three.
Yeah, I agree.
What about the last race? I mean, who's going to finish second to the Mighty Landauer? I picked Landauer fifth. I don't want you to think that I didn't have him anywhere in the mix.
Well, it's a terrifically competitive race. I mean, with all those horses coming out of the race.
Well, I don't know if I'd use the word terrific in any way associated with this field, but if that's your word, then go for it. It is a competitive race. I don't know if it's terrifically competitive, but it's competitive. maybe not so terrifically competitive. Competitive because they're all really slow. I like Rohan.
The Mitch Friedman is at a that's a crazy price on that horse.
What's the morning line?
15-1
Well, I don't know if David made the morning line. I know he's on vacation, so maybe he made the line. But what price do you think Rohan's going to be? 12-1 I mean, he's not going to be 6-4-1
Yeah, I guess. Well, I guess you're right. 10-12-1
He's not going to be 2.5 times the price of Landauer. That's correct. And a bomb squad is dangerous here. He doesn't come out of the same bad race they all ran in. So, but that made it a little interesting. But it's a lot of Pazirai in here, to say the least. Made a big switch to Jose Lascano. I thought Jose Gomez rode him well last time. DJ came calling. Jose's new agent.
Yes, he is.
DJ Campo.
And it had more to do with Jose's willingness to get on him in the morning and work him last week.
Gomez didn't work him in the morning?
No, Gomez was too busy, apparently, to work. And
I give him credit. He's not only getting better as a rider, he's getting smarter.
Yeah. Be aware too. Well, if Gary's other horse gets in, that Sweet Tone ran very well in that same race.
Hang on a second.
The 11.
Okay. So far outside folks. Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck.
No, I know, but
I know that you love all things Gary, but the rest of us, you know, not necessarily as much.
Well, it's a fun sequence, right? I mean, this is.
It'll definitely be fun for people to hit it.
Exactly. Andy, also,
if you put a bunch of money into it and your horses don't do particularly well, that probably won't be really fun.
a quick, I'm sure you've done at least the first pass of work. Nice stakes card on Saturday with the Mother Goose anchoring.
Yeah, it is a good card. It's a fun card. I've done a bunch of work on it, but I'm a long way from being done, if that's what you're wondering.
No, I just wanted you to touch on, you know, the
major. I have nothing to say about stakes at this point, Steve. Sorry.
All right. No
problem. I also have to go. But no, I don't really have much to say. I mean, I'm a long way from being gone.
Well, it's a very good.
It's a good card. It's a good weather, and good card. I mean, geez, it's amazing. I mean,
it's crazy.
Lost a couple of turf races for the most part. You know, it's funny. I honestly hadn't remembered just how bad last year was until you know, I start looking at the handles that we're comparing to last year. My God, I mean, it's hot and Pat reminded me we've got something like 11 inches of rain in 5 weeks or something.
That's right.
Which I somehow managed to do a good job of blocking from my brain. But yeah, no, obviously it's been the opposite this year. So things have been good. Things have been good. The racing's been good. It's been something like very close to 8 pack. Yeah, the whole meat, which is strong.
No, it's good. It's
that
amazing.
Really says we've been able to run the turf as much as anything else, right?
You got those two gorgeous courses. Take as much advantage as for as long as
possible. By the way, I saw Nora yesterday. You're going to really like Nora.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you like the Florida Project?
I loved the Florida Project.
Did you like Red Rocket?
Yes.
That director has nothing but good.
Yes.
His first movie, Starlight, is particularly good. But you'll get around to Nora.
I look forward to it. I appreciate it. Thanks for the heads up. And thanks for this fabulous preview for Thursday's carryover. And we'll see you Thursday. All right. Andy Serling, everybody. I said I was going to see him last Thursday, and then I didn't. I ended up having to get in the car and heading home. But maybe we will hopefully see him on Thursday. Nick Tamaro is going to join us next, and we're going to go through another carryover sequence. I love that I surprised Andy with the with the Morning Line news. He was ready to go to the mat with me about whether the Morning Line was out. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Oh, just fresh off of, going 15 rounds with Andy.
What were you saying about Morning Lines?
I introduced one of the races by saying a crazy Morning Line on a horse, and he countered, the Morning Line's not out yet. I said, well, I printed the PPs last night, and the Morning Line was on the PPs. And no, they're not. He's giving me, then all of a sudden he looks and he says, oh, they are.
Well, he handicapped that card like a month ago, so.
Exactly. He handicapped it before the overnight came out.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he feverishly waited by the computer for the overnight to come out so that he could start clicking on the internal DRF site, refreshing over and over for the PPs to come out.
Well, exactly. And then, of course, at the same time, peppering you and I with text about how the PPs aren't up yet. How could they not be up yet? How many of those do you get? How many per hour?
You can only imagine.
Oh, no, I very easily.
Yeah, we've both experienced it, no doubt about it. It's a frequent thing. That's one good thing about Andy is that you always know what's on his mind.
The best is when he's waiting at Belmont or at the track, whichever track, waiting so he can print them before he gets on the train. And you know, it's getting later and later and later. And he's getting more and more incensed as as the minutes tick away.
Just to get him going, one time I said to him, you know, you really should embrace the possibility of using an iPad and getting an Apple Pencil. And he said, Nick, I am not having this conversation with you. Just stop. I really wanted to keep going, but yeah, I didn't know if I could handle it.
That's great. My man Johnny D. I mean, Johnny made that conversion a long time ago, and he's tried to, you know, get me to do it. So has Ron Anderson too. Ronnie has showed me, look, you can do this, you can do that, but there's no way for me to do that. I need the paper just because I refer back. Not only do we preview these races, but then we recap them. So I need, you know, I need the chart, and I want the chart with the paper, you know, with the PPs. It's what I go through.
I do. It looks like a small forest is surrounding you at all times. I'm 7 years converted to the iPad. Now, I will admit, there are occasions where I'll print. If I know it's going to be somewhere where I want them to be portable, I'll print. Because lugging the iPad isn't always the best thing. You also have the Wi-Fi situation to be concerned about. But, yeah. You know, the biggest thing that it boiled down to for me was that ultimately, you know, with the iPad, I can pretty much handicap anywhere. You know, I could be sitting upstairs at home in my office. I could be sitting on the couch. I could be sitting in bed. I could be doing it, you know, just about anywhere. So that the other thing is that, you know, using PDF Expert, I can store all of the old PPs that I have, and I can actually reference them way faster than if I had paper, not to mention that I'd have this jungle of paper everywhere. So, you know, the instances where you have to do that aren't quite so vast because Formulator is such a resourceful tool, but, you know, there could be a time where I inevitably find myself thinking, was this horse actually an MTO this day, or was he entered for turf, and I can just go back and pull up that day's PPs, and, you know, it ends up working fine. So I've actually had the same iPad now for almost 4 years, but it's working well, and the system works nicely enough for me.
Well, you know, and while I've got a midweek visit with you, and we're going to look at tomorrow's Pick 5 carryover, Jeremy Plonk will join us tomorrow, probably for a last-minute look after scratches. But in advance of that, Nick, with the committee working feverishly today to put together the 14 pre-entered Breeders' Cup fields, give everybody, and we'll be together a handful of times between now and next Friday, but explain to everybody your process for going through you know, between tomorrow when the pre-enters are announced. Give everybody a primer on you know, certainly, you know, neophyte players that maybe it's their first Breeders' Cup and it's going to feel overwhelming.
Yeah, I've been trying already to access as much information as I can on the Japanese horses, and because they're the ones that I think would be the hardest to familiarize yourself with. So I've tried to kind of focus on that. I found an article that Andrew Hawkins wrote, who's terrific, Australian, that spent a lot of time in the Far East, and, sure. and he kind of gave a snapshot of the 19 that are headed over. And I got to tell you, I mean, and again, this is not looking at the fields themselves or anything, but they're bringing over a group of horses unlike anything we've seen. So, and granted, you know, this is only really the third Breeders' Cup that they've come over en masse for, but yeah, I'm going to be very surprised if they don't bring home two, if not even potentially more. They've got some horses that they're very different from the average year that we've seen, because these horses are... their season works out better for them to be ready to peak in a November type of race. So I'll spend the majority of the first couple of nights on the turf races, really trying to familiarize myself with overseas form, making sure that I am not missing anything, checking, you know, odds checker and places like that against what I've looked at in terms of who might be bad, who might not be, pulling trainer stats on guys that have come over maybe a little less frequently than the names you see more often, like O'Brien. So just trying to make sure I'm familiar with them as much as possible. One thing I've done pretty much since I was a teenager, and I continue to do it, is I just get a legal pad out and I make notes on every single horse. So I did this the year that I made the morning line. I've done it every other year. I've done it when I've done well in the BCBC, when I haven't. And I just reference those notes as I go through my final stages of handicapping. There have certainly been plenty of years when I've gone back and seen the note and thought, wow, you really were onto something when the pre-entries came out and found a way to blow it. But and then there are times where, you know, maybe I missed something first way through and I'm looking through it again and, you know, it ended up coming up with a good conclusion there. So I think it's really just a matter of familiarizing yourself. I don't generally spend as much time on the dirt races or the pre-entries, because those are made up of horses we're familiar with, right? It's not, you know, there's not a ton of international participation in those. Now, the Japanese are going to be kind of a caveat to that, with them participating in the dirt races quite as much. I think they've got two for the sprint, one for the distaff, obviously three for the classic. So they're going to be heavily involved. But that's kind of what my process will look like. And, you know, hopefully I will have looked at every race and be familiar with it by Sunday before the actual entries come out. I might make a line myself and just see where the morning line and final odds end up landing relative to that. To see maybe where I think there might be some value, and kind of go from there.
Excellent, and we'll do some pace scenarios as well, and have some initial conversation on Friday, and then more next week. And with that in mind, let's talk about tomorrow at Keeneland. And your work is done, right? You're done with the Keeneland season. You've made all the lines, right?
I am done. I snuck home from my daughter's school fall festival on Sunday to watch the second half of the Texans game and finish the last line. And so they have all been filed. They're in. They're ready for scrutiny, as I'm sure they'll get. And yeah, but that work is all done. It's the 1 week draw is nice in some ways. It's a little bit of a quick turnaround. They want most of those lines the next day, which does put them well in advance. It is kind of crazy to have a Saturday line final on Sunday. But that's the way they do it. So, you know what, at the end of the day, they're paying me, so I'm going to do what they ask.
Well, it's been a very good meet. And, you know, there's always, with full fields this size and with fields that come together, you know, from a variety of places. And also, Nick, you know, one thing about that probably doesn't get brought up enough, the fact that in a lot of ways there's like two different cards. There's the early races, you know, let's say the first four races typically, sometimes five, that are, you know, real meat and potatoes, and then it switches over, you know, to high-level allowances and stakes quality and, you know, premium maiden specials. And so it's kind of funny that way, right, that you got to almost handy, you're almost breaking out, you know, two different cards, essentially.
Yeah, and actually I'll admit, and I do this not only in line making, but in my handicapping nowadays, I handicap cards backwards. I always go from the last race to the first, because the meat of all of these cards are really in the back end. That's why I tweeted a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, is anybody particularly moved by Gulfstream carding a big field as the first? And I actually was treated to a lengthy conversation with our mutual friend Rick Hammerly. A few minutes later, he gave me a call, and you know, he had kind of said the same thing. You know, I thought about this while I was doing it, and have thought about it more, you know, as years have gone by, that maybe you're supposed to put a bigger field or a more attractive race as the first to kind of suck people in. And I said to him, you know, it's the ultimate eye candy, because you put a 10-horse field as the first, then you run those same, you know, 3 or 4, 6 and 7 horse fields as the second through the fifth. But if somebody finds an 8-to-1 shot in the first leg that they like in the pick five, well, now they're playing the pick five. So, yeah, it ends up being kind of two different cards. Luckily, Keeneland's racing is so competitive, they usually have a 10 or 12 horse field as the third or so. Now it might be lower level, but I will admit there have been some days where I've gotten to that $20,000 or $30,000 maiden claimer that goes as the first and have really just been ready to wave the white flag and have had to kind of summon up the courage to finish it off. A lot of times what I'll do is, like with anything else, like with a crossword puzzle or even something as simple as the Wordle, sometimes if you take your eyes off of it, you wait 15 minutes, if not a little bit more, go back to it, it just looks a lot clearer. So I'll do that in order to maybe see if there's something I've missed.
I'm the same way, very much so. If I'm feeling, you know, like my eyes are crossing, I just put it aside and put it at the bottom of the pile and come back around to it. And frankly, this sequence starts in the fourth tomorrow. $301,000 starts the bidding. I was speculating, how much do you think is going to get bet into this?
I mean, I would imagine $1.5 million, I would say, probably, if not more.
Yep.
You know, it's pretty much the solo act on Wednesday, so I know Jim Goodman is probably thrilled with it being on a Wednesday, and they've had a couple of these now, which, you know, in a short meet is pretty incredible. Plus, had amazing weather. They've had a good meet on a lot of different fronts, but these carryovers help a lot. It's sort of crazy that the pick five didn't get hit and the pick six did. I don't know who had the lone ticket, but I have a feeling we could probably guess where it came from. But hey, it makes for a really fun wager, and really a bet that's more approachable for the average Joe than the pick six anyway, especially at the 50-cent increment and one less leg.
Well, it starts with a 32 claimer going a mile and a 16th, and I've already written this up. I said tricky start to sequence with class droppers and in and outers.
Yeah, exactly right. And I mean, you know, I made Underdressed, I would say, a relatively solid favorite for this kind of field. You know, I don't have enough points to make him much shorter than 3-to-1, because my lines never are going to have more than 127 or 128 on them. More than that is just very disingenuous by the line maker. So he looks like the favorite. You know, I'm always skeptical of the Horseshoe Indianapolis Stakes. They all seem high, but this horse's fakes are a lot higher than everybody else's. I mean, his run two back, albeit an off the turf race, was very good. Second place horse came back and validated it. And he ran very well last time out. You look through that running line, that was Jace's Rose that was second. So I understand he's not the two-year-old or early season three-year-old version of Jace's Rose that we had seen before, but obviously still a horse with some quality. And Aaron West just looking for a spot to enter him where he can be successful. I think he's probably worth 32. I mean, heck, they paid 40. He won a 25. He's probably almost paid for himself. If he wins and gets claimed, they're out and ready to move on. And Aaron West is a trainer who's actually quite good, hitting at a 19% clip, albeit on smaller circuits. So he's the horse to be. You know, the one that I feel like might bite me a little bit morning line-wise is Rocco Strong. But boy, his last race was bad. You know, and I'm not really even sure if the version of Rocco Strong that we saw earlier this year or late last year is even around anymore. Because though he ran well two back to Colloquy, that was an off-the-turf race. You know, it didn't get much of a speed figure. Probably got enough to be a contender here, but if that horse is dropping, that you've got to figure out, you know, where they fit. I was a little intrigued by Roman Centurion on the rail. I don't love his running style for this distance or necessarily the Keeneland track profile, though I will say I think the main track has been much fairer as the meet has gone on. I think Malarber is a little dangerous from the inside for Steve Manley, and I'm hoping Christian Torres is very aggressive with this horse. There are some stretch outs, but if he wants to show the kind of speed that he has in the past going long, he could be very dangerous on the front end. And I think that win at FanDuel three starts back sort of indicates that he needs to be free-flowing on the lead. He needs to get out there and force the issue. So I'm hopeful that he does that. But yeah, this is a wide net race for me. I would use probably every bit of the 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, and 9. I've got some narrower opinions as the sequence goes on, but it's going to be a pretty wide start for me.
100% agree, and I actually put Norm Cassie, who's been quiet. Norm drops Strava in here. You made 4-1, technically second off of the layoff, and his good races win this. I mean, pretty clearly. I've got to use Huge Bigley, who's a Keeneland winner for Aaron Shorter. And that always catches my eye. And so I got 5-7-9 underdressed as my third. But I tell you who's a little scary in here. You talk about the ability to be part of the pace. How about CFV Bullet? 8-1.
Yeah, I mean, not a horse without chance, I think. Kind of a slightly different version of Noel Arbor. Didn't do much running last time out. That was what kind of threw me off. But he's been a bit of a good race, bad race horse going back to July. So it wouldn't shock me. These are connections that are certainly capable. I would imagine he'll be, I don't know how much money he'll take from the outside post. It could be tough. But, yeah, I think he deserves some consideration as well. So, no, I mean, there's just a lot of horses in here that you feel like can earn the 80 buyer that it's going to take to win.
You want a scary number? How about Armando Hernandez? Has come to Keeneland 5 times. He's got 3 wins and an 11.52 ROI.
There you go. Right? I mean, one of those guys that you've seen have success here. And there's no doubt. I mean, he has been running in tougher races than this. Hearn, who beat him last time out, is a horse who's been through the claiming ranks in the Midwest. He ran quite a bit at Sam Houston over the years and is very solid. So, you know, this is a race where I think the line between the horses that look like they've run against better and the ones maybe that haven't because they've been on lesser circuits is probably about as blurred as it can be. And, you know, I think that will go a long way towards determining how this race will end up being run. But a lot of it will go to who makes it to the first turn first because, I mean, if Noel Arbor is out there setting the pace, I know Showtime wired the field last time out, they crawled on the lead. Then, you know, this thing could get very interesting. But certainly Strava's good enough and had some races going back that make him a contender. Again, I saw those 6 that I rattled off all as win candidates. And you've talked me into CFV Bullet as well.
He's Hawthorne-based, and there's a lot of places they could run. And it's clear that Hernandez, when he comes to Keeneland, does so with, you know, real intent and with a successful record. Looking at the fifth, this is a maiden special going 1 1/16 on the grass, fillies and mares, and I said there's essentially four candidates here that have got established form that could win. Then there's a bunch that are within range, and the four for me were the 10-6-2-4, and if I had to really drill down, it would be Bird Watching and One Front War, who I think is very dangerous here. The 6 stretching out for Maker.
Yeah, I agree. If I was picking the race, I'd pick One Front War on top. This horse, going around the turn in that Kentucky Downs race last time out, I mean, she was practically in Nashville. She was just way the heck out there. And, you know, that's the card that yielded Act Bullet and Walkathon and some big inside performances. And this filly was nowhere near the rail. She really took the worst of it trip-wise, I thought. And now stretches out. You know, I tweeted a little while ago, and perhaps it was me trying to speak a Mike Maker win on this Wednesday card into existence, but it's been a brutal fall for Mike Maker. He's had some health issues as well. Glad to hear that he's come through them okay. But, I mean, he's 4 for his last 105 in Kentucky. And you've just never seen numbers like that from Maker at all. I think a lot of it has to do with horses having subpar trips like this one. I think some of them just haven't been quite at the level that they could have been. But I thought this filly ran well. I think she'll improve stretching out. Maker's always had good numbers stretching out. She should be much more forwardly placed. I love Saez getting on because he's going to get her far more involved early. And she was just kind of out there, you know, occasionally without beating up on him too much. But Jose Ortiz puts these horses in la-la land through the first quarter, half mile of races, and then it ends up giving them way too much to do. I mean, she essentially lost a photo for third. I mean, she was three quarters of a length behind the horse that ended up finishing third. So that margin looks like it's way more significant than it actually was. She ran which actually ran quite well. Bird watching probably didn't run as well as the running line looks. I had to make this horse a short price favorite because she was 4-5 last time out and finished second. But she's a 6-5 shot worth taking on a little bit, I think. You'd want to include her in the pick five, but if you have an opinion like I do on One Front War, I'm probably a little bit more inclined to use the 4 and 6 as A's and back up with a horse like the 10, because my Brazilian girl, I mean, if you crossed out Kathleen Wadsworth and rode in, you know, even a mid-range trainer percentage-wise, mm-hmm. this horse might be close to favoritism, right? She only has two horses in her barn. She's had 6 starters. The only in-the-money finish was this filly's runner-up 2 back at Ellis, and she went off favorite that day. So, you know, there's no denying that the public will back her a little bit. And now she's a little bit dirtied up with that bad dirt race, but back on her preferred surface, she's a very dangerous horse to me.
Agreed. And I'll reiterate the 2, High Shot. This is another stretch out getting back on the turf, and that race at Colonial in September, nothing wrong with that. I would take a long look at High Shot if you're going to put together, you know, deeper tickets. And then after that, there's, as I mentioned, there's literally 5 others that are within range. But from a fig standpoint, the race that High Shot ran, this is Mark Sims, and that effort there, if it translates stretching out to the mile and change. And, you know, yes, she's a daughter of Hightail, but he was by Mineshaft and out of a skip shot mare. There's no reason why this one can't stretch out. And I, if you're not playing the pick five and you want a horse to boost your exotics, the 2 High Shot, 15-1 on Nick's line. That gets us to a really good premium quality allowance, second level, and these are a bunch of stake fillies.
Yeah, and you know, you have exactly that with a horse like Intricate, who's making her her 9th career start and getting LASIK for the first time. I'll tell you the single most amazing thing about this race, Stephen. I couldn't believe it when I saw the overnight. Landed is entered here. I wonder if Wesley's going to scratch her to run her in the Empire Distaff. I mean, I don't know why you'd run against 2 other thens for $120,000 when you're probably going to be one of the choices for $250,000 at the same distance. So I don't know where he'll end up going. He may have wanted to see what this field looked like. I mean, to be perfectly honest, he's probably not going to be that upset with this field because she looks like one of the choices. She looks like the main speed. And I wouldn't have bet a plug nickel on her getting the mile and an eighth. And she did it last time. Now, she did it with the help of a really slow pace. So I think she'll get a little bit more of a challenge early in here. And, you know, I wonder, the thing is, he can't enter at Aqueduct until he kind of has an idea what he's going to do with her here. So she really is the linchpin in the race, because if she's in it, then it's got enough speed to set up some of the horses that I want to use. And if she doesn't, then it's going to make it a little bit more difficult, maybe for a filly like Intricate. I do think when push comes to shove, Intricate is better than these horses. Brendan Walsh, when he's first-time LASIKs in dirt routes with non-first-time starters, when he's 3-1 or less, he's 5-12. His record's kind of poor with everything else, but in these scenarios, he's done well. This is a filly who's always taken money, so she's going to take money again. She's obviously been facing much better. I mean, people are going to look through these running lines and see Tarifa and Power Squeeze and obviously Torpedo Anna and gravitate towards her, and rightfully so. I think probably the strongest opinion I have in it is a negative opinion on Audacious, who's going to take some money. I didn't really like Audacious's prospects of going long based on her first couple of starts. She got the mile on the 16th last time out at Laurel. I looked through that field. Boy, that was a weak bunch. The 2 of the second and third place finishers have both come back, and the buyer figures have dropped by 8 points. So there's a pretty decent chance that fig is too high. She had a really cozy trip stalking the pace. She'll probably get a similar trip stationed right outside of Landed if she ends up going here. But I don't love her going the mile and an eighth. I feel like Musical Note will move forward off a rail skimming race at Horseshoe Indianapolis. Rail's not always the place you want to be there. And I think Everland is very dangerous. She was totally out of position last time out, wide, too far back, obviously against considerably better at the grade 1 level, and I think she's very dangerous on the drop. So depending on what happens with scratches, I mean, I'm going to use the 5, 6, 7, and 11, and I would be happy to be able to narrow that down to just 3 total if the 6 comes out.
Well, 5, 6, 7 are mine, and I put Everland on top at that fat 8-1.
I don't blame you. I mean, if Landed gets scratched, she's going to go off 7-2 or 4-1, because I don't know how much the public is going to embrace musical note, but it is Brad Cox, the Philly who's always taken money, and, you know, you're automatically, at least on the morning line, I mean, I'm placing a tax on betting Brad Cox, and if this horse was trained by Armando Hernandez, she'd probably be 15-1 on the morning line, right? But she's not, so she's got to go off a slightly shorter price than that.
That gets us to the allowance feature, basically a turf sprint stake for $140,000 is the purse, and a lot of familiar names, and Wesley Ward has kind of a crooked line through this, including Arrest Me Red inside, but his former charge that our friend Patrick Lewis owns with Eddie Keneally, coming off of a very good try, a noble try, got caught. Patrick's got some second-itis lately, ran second in the first and second at Far Hills on Saturday, but out of door, the former Wesley Ward, I think, is preferable to Arrest Me Red, just based on success at the venue, out of door, got a win in the third in the two tries at Keeneland, and Arrest Me Red has not run well at Keeneland, and that stands out to me. But the horse I want to use, back to Mike Maker, Mischievous Rogue, 8-1. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. I think the watching replays back of some of these Kentucky Downs races, the horses that stuck out from that Arrest Me Red allowance were Mischievous Rogue and Sosua Summer. And I've always been of the opinion that Sosua Summer is a considerably better horse with Lasix. And I know that people would counter that by saying, well, if you're using the Jiper and the Shaker Tan as evidence of that, he was probably not going to run that well even if he was on Lasix in those because of the caliber of competition. And that's all fine. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time arguing it. But he's just run better in the scenarios where he's faced less or been able to run with Lasix. And so I'm looking forward to him getting back to that. They were wide. That was the day with the, that was the Ag Bullet Walkathon day where I think there was a big advantage to being inside. So those were the two horses that I want to bet back for sure. I think the horse to beat is Mostache. And Vicky Oliver quietly has had a couple of big price winners at the meet. This horse has always run well at Keeneland. Going back to that allowance win in April where he was favored, that was against a solid enough field. And so I thought he was the one to beat on paper. I made Arrest Me Red the favorite because he's in good form, got a couple of bullet workouts and an inside post, so he should go straight to the front. I think he'll have plenty of company. It looks like it could be a very fast-paced race. My off-the-wall long shot in here is Iman for Joe Orsino, who's Joe coming out of nothing but stakes races, going back to when he could be treated with Lasix earlier in his career. He ran a lot of good races, and if you think they're going to go quick, then he's one you have to include. The only thing that I would keep an eye on, and granted, we don't get a big window into it because I think there's only one turf race prior, but the late autumn turf at Keeneland can sometimes get a little choppy. It can be tough to make up ground, so just stay apprised of that as you handicap and look at it. Unfortunately, the sequence will have already started once we get to this race, but it's one thing that I would definitely keep an eye on.
And there's another horse like that that has got, I mean, not a closer per se, but a horse that's always run well at Keeneland, and that's Mark of the Z, who, whenever I see him there, I raise my eyebrows. Quick finish, we got that maiden special, and who has to be used?
Yeah, Touchy's got to be used. Yep. I don't see how you can get out of it without him. I would say Hitchcock seems like the other.
Yep, that's my pick. Yep. And I tell you, I would be very cognizant, Can Do Andrew.
Yep. No argument.
8-4-9-10 for me in the nightcap. We'll watch it, and after the scratches, we'll get Nick's... are you doing a thing with Andy today?
No, that's on the Aqueduct picture.
That's Aqueduct, yeah. Which we did we like to know who you're picking in the eighth. Wink, wink.
House horse, right?
The house horse. But he's not the big horse yet. The big horse is still Shazando until otherwise replaced.
I love it.
Nick, thanks
a
lot.
Anytime. Talk to you soon.
Fantastic. Nick Tamaro, folks. NTAM. 1215. The greatest. Andy Serling, also the greatest. Graham Motion, he's the greatest. Dale Day. It was the greatest of the greatest. Tina Bond, Nitha, doing a great job. Good luck if you're playing today. It's a Tuesday. There's some action out there, right? Plenty. Indy. Presque Isle. Just 3 days left. Tomorrow, Dick Powell, of course, and Sid. And much, much more. Dr. Allday. Good luck, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.